since the beginning. 6 years now since when he started Sefer Yehoshua. Ava and Leo have been such fixtures. So to learn a little bit, obviously with Eva in mind, but Lilo Nishmas, Eliezer ben Shimshon, and all the wonderful work he did on behalf of our Kehila. So it should be an aliyah for his neshama. So we're definitely thinking of Leo. I have to say, it feels very strange and a little sad not to see, you know, Eva and Leo together in their regular place. But kachi darka shel olam, and we're so grateful for all the time that we had together and all the learning that we had together. And certainly with a very heavy heart, but we'll do the best that we can. Let me just share the screen, and we will be on the road, as we say. So, we're going to come back now to Aviyam, the son of Rechavam. We'll always start just to help orient ourselves with the chart that you say. See here, first Malchus Beis David, and then Malchus Yisrael. We'll focus on Malchus Beis David tonight. So, you know, David, we know, reigned for 40 years. 7 years in Hebron, and then 33 years as a national king in Yerushalayim. Shlomo for 40 years, Rechavam for 17 years. Yeravam was the king for his entire reign, and then Rechavam was followed by his son Aviyah, or Aviyam, as he's referred to for the most part. And again, that was during the reign of Yeravam. Just to appreciate, in the other direction. So Yeravam reigned for 22 years over Malchus Yisrael. His capital was in Shechem, according to some Tirza, and he had a number of kings from Yehuda, including Rechavam for 17 years and Aviyam for 3 years, a relatively brief reign, and Asa, Aviyam's son. So we'll get there tonight. So we're going to do actually a relatively small number of psukim and Sefer Melachim, but many more in Divrei Hayamim. You have to kind of do them in parallel to appreciate the full. The full nuance of the character. So let's begin with Sefer Melachim. Vishna Shmona Yisrael Melach Yeravam Ben Nevat Malach Aviyam Al Yehuda. So already in the first pasuk, you can notice something really interesting about the way that Aviyam is introduced, or not introduced.
Introduced as the son of
Rechavam. Yeah, really well done. What do you think?
He took over. It sounds like he took over as opposed to waiting for Rechavam to die.
Right. So the truth is that we have inside information about that, right, Effie? That we know that he only became king after the death of Rechavam, but it might give you an insight into his perspective on his father, right? I mean, his father was very disappointing. The first 3 years, his father obviously, due to the influx of Kohanim and generally speaking religious people, so that made a difference. But the fact was that, Rechavam really let things fall apart from there. So we'll see that it's more complicated than that, but that's already an important perspective. So Shaloshani Malach Birushalayim B'Shem Imo Ma'acha Bas Avi Shalom, right? So we know that he married this woman who was the daughter of Avshalom, and all that very strange. His mother was the daughter of Avshalom, and we talked about that last week. Sort of Rechavam perpetuating the problems of his father. Va'ilach b'chol chato saviv asher asal ofanav elohei levavo shalem imadunai lohav kilvav David aviv. Right, he was not really committed in any way that could be compared to David, obviously the progenitor of the line. Kilaman David Hasan Adonai Lohavlo near Yerushalayim, and LaHakim Espino Acharav LaMidas Yerushalayim, and that was particularly disappointing because the only reason that Aviyam had even one city to rule over was specifically because of who David was and his loyalty. Asher Das Asa David Asa Yashar Bene Adonai. So the Navi says, obviously David was not perfect, but he was remarkable. And The only thing that you get David on was Uriah Hachiti. Now, it's interesting. If you look in the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf and Vav, the Gemara tells us maybe that's not exactly right. Amarav, Kimi'aint be'i David l'mishkachas be'i bar mid Uriah, d'chsev rak bedvar Uriah Hachiti. We only find that that was, you know, David's sin, the sin of Uriah. If you take the Gemara in Yoma, it's, you know, not just Uriah, but Bathsheba. So Abai Kshisha Rami, Rav already was saying, Mi Amarav Hachiv Amarav, Kibel David Lashon Hara. The Gemara says Kasha. So David, there may have been other issues as well. David was Mekabel Lashon Hara and Mephibosheth. You know, from Mephibosheth's servant, who said that Mephibosheth was part of the rebellion of Avshalom and really should not have accepted that Lashon Hara. But okay, basically David was a faithful person. And the point that the Navi is making is that to the extent that David wasn't perfect is because people aren't perfect. And sometimes people behave in a way that really is inconsistent with, you know, their basic orientation and their general values. And David certainly was a person for whom you could say whatever chait or chatayim perhaps there were was not, you know, reflective of his general character. This is an important point in general, right? That, you know, people sometimes will fail in a certain sense, but it's not indicative of their character. That's what the Navi is saying was the problem here with Aviyam, that it wasn't like, you know, for Aviyam, when he did a chait, it wasn't like, you know, this is some great deviation from his natural character. So, Milchama Haisa ben Rechava ben Yeravam kol yemei chayav. Very interesting. We'll talk about the Mephorshim who speak about this. It's really amazing that the Navi says that the Milchama was between Rechavam and Yeravam. It should really say Aviyam and Rechavam. So that might be a very important key. V'yasher divrei Aviyam v'chol asher asa haloheim k'suvim al sefer divrei yamim l'malchei Yuda o Milchama haisa ben Aviyam uven Yeravam. And now, finally, the Navi says that there was a war between Aviyam and Yeravam instead of that. That's where it should have started. Like, why are we reviewing the fact that there was a war between Rechavam and Yeravam? Veishkav Aviyam im Avosav, veikbru osobir David, veimloch asa beno tachtav. The truth is that we know very little about Aviyam from Sefer Melachim. He was a very big disappointment, sort of like his father was, and didn't live up to the legacy of David in any which way. But you have, if you read it very carefully, you have like some hints. So that, again, number one, Effie, you noticed that he's not introduced as Ben Rechavam. Second of all, it says that Milchama Haisa Ben Rechavam Ven Yeravam Kol Yemei Chayav. Right, all the days of Aviyam's life, the war between Rechavam and Yeravam, you know, raged on. So anybody have any thoughts about that?
Guess it might be that he was continuing what
his father had been doing. Okay, good, Effie. We might even be able to take that half a step further, but Effie, that's a very good start. Right? Because, Effie, if you go in that direction, so that's almost in a certain sense at odds with your previous observation, right? Because then why wouldn't it call him Aviyam ben Rechavam, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Ravanel is a really interesting general comment here. He says there's so little about Aviyam in Sefer Melachim, but we're going to see a lot in Divrei Hayamim in just a moment. He says it has to do with the basic difference in the goal of each Sefer. The goal of Sefer Melachim is to really identify in a very distilled, precise fashion the extent to which the Melachim of Yehuda and Yisrael were either tzaddikim or rishayim. Lo haya kavanas hanavi kosev ze asefer ki im lichtov am lachim in yaneim beinam lamakam yisbarachim hayutovim yisharim b'libosam o hirshiu lasos. That's what Sefer Melachim is about. So we had enough information about Aviyam to determine that he was a disappointment. Okay, that's what Yirmiyahu was interested in getting across in Sefer Melachim. However, Ezra HaSofer and Divrei Hayamim wanted to give us more of a detailed appreciation of each and every Melech Yehuda. And so we're going to find more about Aviyam in Sefer Divrei Hayyam, a very fascinating theory, okay? So we're going to find much more in Divrei Hayyam than we ever found in Sefer Melachim about who Aviyam was and about the points that that Effie raised. Okay, so let's now take a look. It's a much lengthier passage, but here we are. So this is Divrei Hayyam in Beis, Perek Yud Gimel, Aleph through Chaf Gimel. So Bishnah Shmona Esrei LaMelech Yeravam VaYimloch Aviyah, otherwise known as Aviyah Mal Yehuda, Shalosh Shanim Malach BiYerushalayim V'Shem Imo Michayah Bas Uriel Min Giva. All the Mefarshim point out this is the same woman that we met before, the Ma'acha Bas Avshalom. Different ways of referring to her. Melchama Haisa Ben Aviyah Uvein Yeravam VaYesra Aviyah Samilchama BeChayil. Gibori Melchama Arbami Oselavish Bachor, he had 400,000 soldiers. Yeravam Arachimo Melchama Bishmoname Oselavish Bachor, Gibor Chayil. So massive, 1.2 million soldiers under arms, 2/3 of them in the army of Yeravam, which you would expect because he has many more of the tribes. Vayakum Aviyah Me'al Lahart Smarim Asher Harafarim Vayomer Shmauni Yeravam Bechol Yisrael. So he goes up the top of the mountain and he gets out his bullhorn and he starts making a speech. In a sentence, I'm the real king. The melucha belongs to David. Vayakom Yeravam Nevad Eved Shlomo Ben David Vayimrod Al Adonav. And your king is an Eved. And worse than that, he's an Eved who's a Mori B'Malchus. He's Chayv Misa. Vayikavtsu Al Avanashim Reikim B'nei Belial, and he was supported by, hoodlums. Vayizamtza Rechavam ben Shlomo Rechavam hayana'ar virach leva velo hischazek lifnehem. Let's pause for a second. Who is Aviyam talking about? This is talking about Rechavam, and he's saying his Rechavam was not equal to the task. He was far from Menar. He became king when he was 41 years old. But you almost wouldn't know it, but who's he talking about? Ruthie, who's he talking about? And Aviyam is up there making a speech, basically saying, Rechavam is, was a failure, and, who's he talking about?
I was distracted by what's going on here, sorry.
His father, right, Effie?
Yeah.
His father. And so Effie...
But it's not accurate.
Ah, so he says that his father was really impotent. He was incapable of, doing what needed to be done. This was your observation earlier, right? When it said that Aviyam, if you look, very carefully in Sefer Melachim, he was not introduced as Ben Rechavam. He clearly went to distance himself from his father, right? V'ata atem omrim lischazek v'tnei mamlachas adnai b'yad b'nei David v'atem hamon rav v'machem eglei zav asher asa lacham yiravim l'luim. You guys are a bunch of ovdei avodasara and your king is an eved. This whole thing is a farce. Halo idachtem skonei adonai esmrei yavron v'alavim v'tasu lacham konim kamei aratzos kol habam le'yado b'far ben bakar v'elim shiva v'yachohim l'lo v'aluhim. And what's worse is you desecrated the kuna. Right, it sounds like Aviyam is like, this religious paragon, and you were Mavaza, the Keser Kuhuna, and you're involved in Avodah Zarah, and the whole thing is a betrayal of Malchus Beis David, so on and so forth. It's really, you'd get the impression based on this that Aviyam was some great hero of the Jewish faith. We never abandoned God. And we were loyal to the kahuna. Every day we do this. We are authentic observant Jews, and you are deviants. Don't think for a second about going to war against us, even though you outnumber us 2-1, because we have God on our side, and you guys are a bunch of heretics. So even if you, you know, be rabbim miad ma'atim and the rishayim biad tzadikim and tamei biad tahorim b'zeidim biad oskei sarasachol lechasi sashim gadol v'kadosh belamecha. So Yeravam was not one to be moved, and certainly not one to take Musar from Aviam, who again here is, you know, very critical of his father. So he starts organizing a very brilliant military campaign, and he is able to surround. It took a group of his soldiers, and again he was outnumbering them 2-1, and he had Aviam encircled. So Yeravam heisev es hamarav lavo me'achareyam v'ulufnei Yehuda v'marav me'achareyam. So the after Aviam's big speech, basically saying, you know, God fights with us, so now they're surrounded. They cried out to God. That's what the Torah says you're supposed to do. Right, that's what they did. Half a million Jews died that day. Oy. Right, so Yehuda was victorious over Malchus Yisrael. The Malchus Yisrael was reduced from 800,000 to 300,000. And Yehuda only started with 400,000. So, because they turned to God in their time of distress, because they're about to be annihilated, so God delivered them in victory. So Aviyah wanted to finish it off then and there, kill Yeravam. And the rebellion reunited the Jewish people. So it says, Yeravam, that point on, was like defeated. And the simple reading of the psukim was that Yeravam died. Vayischazek Aviyo, vayisalu nashim arba esrei, vayilad esrim b'shnayim banim, 22 sons, v'sheish esrei banos, and 16 daughters, a grand total of 38 kids, a lot of mouth to feed. V'yeser devri Aviyah, d'racha v'devar av k'subim midrash anavi yido, v'yishkav Aviyah v'amusav, v'yikbrusav v'yir David, v'yimloch asa b'no tachtav, b'yamav shakta ha'aretz eser shanim. Okay. So it's almost like, we have to admit, before we get to this Yerushalmi here, it's almost like we're talking about two very different people. Aviyah of Sefer Melachim is this massive disappointment who, you know, is a disgrace to David. And here we have Aviyam, who achieves this great military victory, and he rescues triumph from the jaws of defeat, and he appeals to God, and he tried to reunite the kingdom under, you know, the proper Davidic line, and he excoriates the northern tribes for following, you know, into Avodah Zarah. You know, it's a disaster. So how do we reconcile the two of these? We're talking about different people. The Abravanel says, oh, and Sefer Melachim, I'm interested in figuring out, was a guy, you know, basically on the right track? Was he committed or not? Divrei Yamim Ezra will give you more details. But such a discrepancy is almost like, you know, hard to reconcile. So just to begin with, you know, Effie's point is very well taken. You know, the one point of consistency that you really find between Melachim and Divrei Yamim is the idea that Aviyam was not impressed by his own father, right? In Sefer Melachim, he introduces Aviyam, not Aviyam ben Rechavam. And Divrei Hayamim, right, Birovam, in front of everybody, he says his father was a failure. And he was a Na'ar, which is a massive insult to say about your own father. And, you know, the kingdom got away, and this and that. It's interesting, and we noted before, that in Sefer Melachim, it says that there was a war between Rechavam and Yeravam all the days of Aviyam. So the Mefarshim point out that what that means is that Rehavam didn't really have the military strength to fight Yeravam, but that Aviam did it for him. He was like his, you know, he grew up on the battlefield. He had really cut his teeth, you know, waging wars on behalf of his father. So, and that apparently in the end bred some sense of resentment, but he wasn't impressed by his father. You know, he'd been fighting his father's war. He was contemptuous towards his father, dismissive, which is not a good thing. So anybody have any thoughts on how there might be a point of common? I mean, Sefer Melachim gives the final verdict that Aviyam is a disappointment, is a discredit to David, is the second generation in a row. Right? Shlomo is complicated, you know, leaving aside Shlomo, but you have David, you have Shlomo, you have Rechavam, then you have Aviyam, right? So Rechavam is clearly a disappointment. Nobody's going to dispute that after the first 3 years. Clearly a spiritual disappointment. Aviyam, you know, certainly say from Lachem, it sounds that way. In Divrei Hayamim, he gives this big speech about, you know, their loyalty to God and Malchus Yisrael and their disloyalty to God, and therefore they have to, you know, be, you know, reunited, and he tries to get them to be reunited, tries to chase after Yeravam. But anybody have maybe a slightly different take on Divrei Hayamim?
Is it possible that, like, when he calls out to Hashem, like, they're davening to Hashem and they call for help, could it be just at that moment, like, he realizes they're outnumbered and they don't have a chance, so, you know, he does the right thing and he davens to Hashem, which we want, but maybe it wasn't through and through, like, maybe that wasn't what he embodied every day, or that wasn't what he promoted on a regular basis to the Jewish people, so he wasn't really a tzaddik, but at this moment, Hashem listened because he was turning to Hashem in the hope that maybe that would continue. I don't know.
Could not have said it better myself. Ruthie, keep on going with that idea. 100%. Aviyam gives a great speech, but you know, Yeshna Dorish Veno Noah Mekayim. I mean, he was right about his father. I don't know if it was appropriate for him to say it this way, you know. But he's portraying himself as a spiritual paragon, but we know that he's not. And you're right, so God delivers him at that moment because it would essentially have been a chilul Hashem. Here you have this person who's appealing to God and decrying over his eyes, saying all the right things. But we know, deeper down, that this is not reflective of who he is. The Navi Melachim told us that he did nothing to, in a systemic way, rehabilitate spiritually the Malchus Yehuda and all of the Avodah Zarah of Rechavam and all of the, you know, Giloy Arayos of Rechavam. He hasn't improved that at all. And the irony is he's so disparaging of his father, but how much better is he really? So, Ruthie, just putting it together, let's drive this point home. So what really was it, what was motivating him? I mean, this speech is fire and brimstone, and it's religion, and it's loyalty to God, and you and your deviations, and you usurped the Malchus, and you rebelled against the God's chosen king, and you displaced the Kohanim, the Zerah Aaron, and you're rebellion against Yerushalayim, and you're doing Avodah Zarah. But this might be using religion as a tactic for what?
To reunite the kingdom, yeah. Under
him. Beautiful. Right? So he's found a good tagline. You right? For him, it's about power. But he promotes it as, you know, they're godless. Like anything else in the world, religion can be used for political purposes. Like anything else. As a wedge issue, so to speak. So, Ruthie, you hit the nail on the head before. I think, sort of, because they turned to HaKadosh Baruch in their moment of distress, and that was legitimate, so God answered them. And it was true that Malchus Yisrael deserved a massive wake-up call. It's all true. But it doesn't mean that what Aviyam has said is true either. He's out there projecting himself as you know, something that he's really not. And that's that I think is really the synthesis point between Melachim and Divrei Hayamim. And I think you can see that based on a fascinating passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi. So let's take a look. Again, the Pshat in the Pasuk was after this massive defeat, where 500,000 of Yerubim soldiers, I mean a massive, massive, cataclysmic military defeat, where 500 of 800,000 soldiers in the army of Yerubim and Nevada are annihilated on a single day, right? This is, you know, cataclysmic level defeat, right? So velo atzar koach Yerubim od bimei Aviyahu, that Yerubim never regained his footing. Vayigfehu Adonai vayamos, and he is the object of a plague, magefa, and he dies. But the Yerushalmi had a different interpretation, deviating slightly from the pshat, but I think getting, in a certain sense, to a deeper pshat. Ruthie, Effie, apropos your comments. K'siv elo atzar koach, rav mod bimei aviyah, vayikfeu adonai vayamos, amar Reb Shmuel, atzavor, one would think that this pasuk is referring to Yeravam. Eino ela aviyah. It's actually talking about aviyah. That yes, v'lo atzar koach, Yeravam od bimei aviyahu, if you could follow my cursor, Yeravam no more strength, but who died? Aviyam died. Yeravam outlived him. Wow. Lama migaf? We're going to see three views. Rabbi Yechanan Amar, al shechishet is Yeravam berabim, that he publicly humiliated Yeravam. Hadao dechsiv ve'atem hamon rav, imachem egli azav, asher asalacham Yeravam le'elohim. That says that Yeravam was involved in the Avodah Zarah of this Egel Hazav. Now, it is interesting because if you'll recall, the Bavli in Sanhedrin, why did Yeravam become the Melech? Because he gave Shlomo Tochacha. Why did he lose his Malchus? Because he was Mochicho Berabim. So you see the kind of parallel there that Aviyam should not have attacked Yeravam in this public way. But I think that there's a subtext here, so I want to come back to it. Let's go to the second view. That was Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish Amar, Al Shabiza Achiyah Hashiloni Rabbe, because he denigrated his own Rabbi Achiyah Hashiloni. Hadao Dechsi Veikav Tzvi Levan Hashem Nei Belial, that Yeravam was supported by only Bnei Belial, only people of, you know, poor values. But we know that one of Yeravam's main supporters was Achiyah Hashiloni. Okay. Al Ditzavach L'Achiyah Hashiloni Belial. V'Rabbanan Amrin, now a third view, the majority view, Ayadei Shabbos Avodah Zarah L'Yado V'lo Bi'ara, that he didn't extirpate the Avodah Zarah. Remember the last part of the war, right, says that he was chasing after Yeravam, and he came to Beit El, and he came to other places. And it doesn't say he destroyed any Avodah Zarah. Hadao Dechsiv HaYerdof HaViyach Yeravam V'Yakod Men Arvim Et Beit El. Wait a second. We know of the Egle Hazav, of the two golden calves, one was in Beit El. And the Navi says nothing about Aviyah extirpating the Avodah Zarah. To review, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, the Rabbana. Rabbi Yochanan, that he excoriated Yeravam publicly in terms of Avodah Zarah. Reish Lakish, that he attacked Achiyah Shiloni, the Gadol Hadar, and referred to him as a Ben Belial. The third, that when he was chasing around for Yeravam, he didn't actually do anything about the Avodah Zarah Beit El. What, friends, what is the common denominator between all three views?
Wasn't doing this rest of ship.
Excellent. Evie, build it.
He didn't destroy the idols. He spoke Lashon Hara. And he also spoke Lashon Hara on
Achiyah Shiloni and Yeravam. Okay, good. Take it. Just to use the.
So he was not what he was making himself out to be. Big. In his big speech.
Nail in the head. Nail in the head.
It wasn't inside.
So here he is, right? What Yerushalmi is saying is that he doth protest too much. Here he is. It's one thing for him to excoriate Yeravam for Yeravam's involvement in Avodah Zarah when, you know, he had spent his the first few years of his reign cleaning up all of his father's Avodah Zarah. No such thing. So who is he to attack Yeravam publicly? Who is he to attack Achiyah Shiloni? And now's your big chance, right? You want to prove what a tzaddik you are? But instead, what was he doing? Ruthie, your point. He was chasing after Yeravam. He wanted the political power. So the Avodah Zarah will worry about that later. If he really was concerned about Kavod Shemayim, he would have said, we'll find Yeravam later. Right now, you got to destroy some Avodah Zarah. Abed to Abdunis Kalam Bekomus. Well, what's the irony, of course, as we said before? This is a man who publicly disparages his father for being a failure. But the only thing that he really means by that is that my father was a political failure. Then he didn't get to the heart of the matter, but there's a spiritual essence. So Abiyam is this politician, and he's interested in power. And so, yeah, of course he wants to reunite the kingdom. So of course he says terrible things about Malchus Yisrael, but he's no more religious than they are. He's a hypocrite. He is a hypocrite. He doesn't destroy the Avodah Zarah. He attacks Yeravam for being an Ovid Avodah Zarah. He's no better. So this speech is this great speech if it were given by somebody who actually cared. But he doesn't. So it's deeply cynical. And this is the politics of cynicism where we're going to say we're going to weaponize religion for political power. We're going to make religion the handmaiden of politics. Oy. Oy. What could be worse? So you're taking real things, substantive things, Avodas Hashem, and making it subservient to your political interests. That's a disaster. That's the politics of Abiyam. And he's willing, again, to denigrate his own father, who he's absolutely no better than. Again, I'm not leading the, you know, Rechavam Rehabilitation Society over here. Right? But the point is that Abiyam was no better. He's just more ambitious. So there is no stira, there's no contradiction between Malachim and Divrei Yamim. Divrei Yamim is really an expose of the exact points. So contra the Bravanel says, the Malachim is trying to get to the point, you know, is he a good guy, is he a bad guy? In Divrei Yamim, you'll get, you know, much more in the Shevach of Malchei Yehuda. And this is not the Shevach of Malchei Yehuda. This is a transparently transactional person. And that's what Yerushalmi says, that after this, Ruthie, you know, God delivers him in this great victory right on that day. But after this, God destroys him on the spot. Because he's cynically manipulating the religion. Okay. Questions? Let's hold it up there. Yeah, Ruthie, please.
According to the Rishalmi, that it was Abiyam that died. The next few psukim was, I don't remember, but Yechazek Abiyahu, and it gives a little, is that just a synopsis now that he's dead? Let me just recount, you know, the highlights of
that would be the Yerushalmi's reading, correct.
Okay. And his death, obviously he's no longer worthy of living. Does it also send a message to the people around him, or that's irrelevant?
I think it does. Though, Ruthie, I strongly suspect that they knew anyway, in the sense that if you're living in Yehuda at the time, you're walking around. There's Avodah Zarah all over the place. Like it said, in the days of Rechavam, and he did nothing about it. It's like the guys who, you know, who come and say, you know, we're running for office, and I don't know, whatever it is, you know, there's going to be no crime. And you walk outside, everything's the same. So, you know, you don't need the newspaper to tell you, oh, by the way, Right? Sometimes you can get this confirmation, but they probably knew it anyway. They knew. They knew who he was. So, and he's not who he says he is. And that's disappointing. That's always disappointing. All right, so a little bit of housekeeping. Let's say goodnight. Next week, I will be away, or really in a car. Trying the kids back. So we will resume in 2 weeks. Send out a notice. 8:15. It'd be the 23rd. Yeah, it should be the 23rd. At 8:15. And God willing, we will pick it up there. So I wish everybody a good little next 2 weeks, and it should be the Eloi Nishmas Eliezer Ben Shimshon Leo Ganzen. We certainly miss Eva tonight. We look forward to welcoming her back, God willing, after the Shiva, and always having wonderful memories of Leo. Have a good night, everybody.
We will miss you. Good night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.